Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. It's Inspirational Truth time once again. And as always, I'm happy to greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. What a joy. What a joy that is for me to say from time to time. And I hope it's a blessing for you to hear, friend. I mean it. He came to be your Savior. He is mine. He wants to be yours, for the Son of Man, Luke 19 and 10 says, came to seek and to save that which is lost. If you're lost today, you may have started this day that way, but thank God I bring you good news. You can end it in the save column, do you hear? You don't have to die lost. You don't have to go to a Christless eternity. You don't have to die eternally without any relief or any success. You can be saved today. You can find the peace of God. You can get the grace of God. You can come to know the mercy of God if only you would trust in Him. My, what a great season that it is. The making of this program, we're just next door to Easter, to the greatest season I believe there is for the follower of Christ, for the believer. The Sunday on which this message was created for is known as Palm Sunday. It's just a few days off, as I tell you, at the making of this program, and what a great day it was. What wonderful things it marked and noted. What wonderful scripture it fulfilled. My, what a great thing it is to know Christ as Savior. What a great book we have written about Him, the Word of God. One of the things that makes the Bible, the King James Bible, one of the things that makes the Christian Bible a great book as it is the prophecies that it has given, that's contained in it, and the prophecies that have been fulfilled in it. And I'm telling you something, friend. There's been a lot of prophecies fulfilled. There's a lot yet to be. And I'm just as sure as the prophecies that have been fulfilled, the ones that are yet to be fulfilled will be fulfilled. And I hope you understood that clearly. I certainly do. Well, I'm excited about the message. You probably know more about it than what I do. Look, friend, I'm just seeking to follow the leadership of the Spirit of God as best I can understand it. So I've opened my Bible, the 19th chapter of the book of Luke's Gospel, or the Gospel according to Luke. Chapter 19 of the book of Luke. And I'm going to begin reading down in verse 28 and read more scripture than I normally do when I preach here on the radio. But I believe God would have me to. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke 19. And as soon as Debbie does the song titled, Who Is This King? I'll be back with the message. I believe it goes right with what God has laid on my heart. And well, I just hope you enjoy it. I do. Beautiful song written by a beautiful lady. My wife, what a precious soul she is. You enjoy this. Who is this King?
In the town that's called Bethlehem, so many years ago, there was a king that was born. He was born in a stable low. But most did not realize what had taken place. This king had come down to enter the human race. Blinded eyes.
I like that, don't you? Thank God. Thank you, Debbie. Thank you for listening to the Spirit of God as He moved you to write that beautiful song entitled, Who is this King? Well, I'll tell you who He is. I can tell you who He is, thank God, because the Word of God tells us who He is. Do you know who He is? According to the book of Psalms, Psalm 24, the Word of God says, Lift up ye heads, O ye gates. Be lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? Why, it's the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? Why, He's the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah, the writer said, thank God. That's the third psalm that makes up a trilogy of psalms, or three psalms that are connected, that has a story to tell in three different psalms. In Psalm 22, we have a picture of the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. In Psalm 23, we have a picture of the great shepherd, thank God, who cares for his sheep. But all here in Psalm 24, we have a picture of the chief shepherd who's coming for his sheep. Thank God. Thank God. Who is the King of glory? He is the Lord. God mighty is He. In the book of Luke chapter 19, I'm going to begin reading, Lord willing, here in verse 28. We're going to be looking at the what is referred to in most Bibles and most circles of Christian thinking and scholarship and all that. We're going to be looking at what they refer to as the triumphal entry of Christ in Jerusalem. But I'm kind of like J. Vernon McGee. He doesn't call it that. He wonders if that triumphant entry is yet to happen. And the reason being, he said, hey, when He comes into Jerusalem this time, they crucified Him. When He comes the next time, glory to God, He'll come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He'll come. Come, friend, listen, to rule and reign over the earth for 1,000 years. Now, let me say this about this passage that I'm about to read. I know it's triumphant, at least in the fact that it fulfills the Word of God. There are two great scriptures, two great prophecies that this event that we have record of here in the book of Luke, and we also have it in Matthew, Mark, and John. This great record that we have here in the book of Luke fulfills the prophecy that was written by a man by the name of Zacharias and a man by the name of Daniel. And as I was studying this scripture, as I was meditating and praying and seeking God's face as to what to preach about, I began to wonder why there is no reference back to Daniel chapter 9 in this. Why did the Holy Spirit tell Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to be silent about this? But oh, I've got to hurry. And since I don't have much time, let me just begin in verse 41, if I may. This says, and Luke says this, and when he, speaking of Jesus, was come near, talking about now the city of Jerusalem. And I don't believe that Luke gives this in a chronological fashion. I believe if you look back in the Word of God, even here in verse 29, you'll see that when Jesus came up out of the wilderness, he had been making his way to Jerusalem. When he passed in and through Jericho, he came up the way all the pilgrims normally do into that great city from the backside of Mount Olive, going past Bethphage and Bethany. And when he got there, he said, hey, fellas, I want you to go into a city, and when you get there, you're going to find a man bearing a pitcher of water. And when you do, you ask him where, I'm getting the Passover in this. He said, listen, when you get there, You go into a village, and at the inner end of it, you'll find a colt that's tied. I believe Mark said it was a colt tied where two ways meet, and there's a message in that colt, is there not? And he said, listen, you tell that man that the Lord had need, and he'll give you that colt. Boy, I'll tell you what a great God he is. They brought that colt to Jesus, and he sat upon it, and listen, when he sat upon the peak of Mount Olivet, overlooking the Kidron Valley, looking into the place called Mount Moriah, the city of Jerusalem, had that great edifice that we know is the temple. It had been rebuilt, the second rebuilt temple. It had been beautified by a king by the name of Herod the Great, and he was great only because of his architectural and building abilities. Otherwise, he was a despot of the highest kind. When he was come near, he said in verse 41, he beheld the city and wept over it. My Jesus, who is God incarnate, Jesus, friend, who is omniscient, who knows all things, knowing the Scripture, bless God, knowing the heart of man, knowing history pre-written. Somebody said prophecy is God's history pre-written. He began to look at the city of Jerusalem. He began to remember or understand or see in his mind, however you'd rather say that. He began to see what was going to happen to this great city that he calls up to have his name placed there. That great city, according to Ezekiel 5:5, that he'd put in the midst of all the nations around him. He began to weep over them. I mean, he just boo-hooed, if you allow me to say it that way. I mean to tell you, he just lamented, he cried, he wailed. He didn't hold anything back, and listen to why he did. He, when he came to the city, wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, and they should have, they had every reason in the world to know. Remember what John said, he came into his own, and his own received him not. I'm telling you, the Old Testament pointed to the coming of Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. The Old Testament pointed to the coming of the Christ, the Anointed, the Messiah, the Greek word for the Hebrew word, anointed and Messiah. If thou hadst known, even thou at least. Now watch this phrase. In this thy day, the things which belong unto thee, unto thy peace, exclamation point. But now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thy enemy shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side, shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another. Watch this, because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation. Jesus said, all the pain that you're going to feel, all the suffering that you're going to have, all the problem that's going to confront you, the enemy that will compass you in and raise you down. He was referring to Titus in 70 A.D. Oh, Jesus said, if only you had have known the day of thy visitation and thy peace that would have been brought. Do you remember when we pray according to the model prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven? We're praying every time we say that prayer for the coming of Christ. We're praying for Him to come and establish His kingdom. It'll be a kingdom of righteousness. It'll be a time of peace when the Lamb and the Lion lay down together in each straw. My, it'll be a time when a child can play upon the hole of an asp. I'll tell you, friend, Jerusalem had the opportunity to accept the promised Messiah, and He would have set up the kingdom, a kingdom that would have been glorious, a kingdom that would have been righteous, a kingdom that would have been known for the peace that it brings in all the world. And because their eyes were blinded, because of their choosing to reject Him, because they thought that He would come a certain way and do a certain thing, their eyes were closed, their eyes were blinded. And now Jesus said, the only thing left for you is judgment. Oh, listen to what the Word of God tells us, friend. If thou hadst only known, my, listen, thy day, this day that we're referring to here, we talk about it and refer to it in Christian circles as Jesus Palm Sunday. And you say, why do you call it Palm Sunday? Well, it was a day that fulfilled a prophecy in the book of Zechariah that says this. Zechariah, and I want you to notice now what's absent in the Gospels. The first part of how Zechariah wrote this is absent. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Here's where it picks it up. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just, having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. By the way, I'm talking about the king is coming. Should have told you my text a long time ago, but the king is coming. Thank God. Listen, that's what this day represented. This day was a day of infamy. This day was a day of prophecy fulfilled. This was a day, bless God, that God marked out on His divine calendar in eternity past. It was a day, bless God, that God wanted the children of Israel to recognize their king because He presented Himself as a king. There were times through the public ministry of Christ, there were times when He did certain things that they sought to make Him king, and He slipped out of the midst. There were times that Jesus performed miracles that were miracles that only the Messiah could perform, according to Isaiah's prophecy. And He said, "See ye that ye tell no man." But here on this day, here in this hour, when Jesus was presenting Himself to His own people in their very chief city where the temple of God sat. Bless God, He was presenting Himself as the King. Hey, friend, the King is coming. He's coming meek and lowly. He's coming riding upon the on a donkey. He's coming riding, friend, listen, mine declaring Himself as King. People began to cry, "Hosanna," which means deliver. Or save us. And boy, they didn't get it, did they? They were looking for a political deliverance. They were looking for a national deliverance. But Jesus Christ came, glory, hallelujah, to bring a spiritual deliverance. He came as the Savior of the world. He came to die. He came, bless God, so that we that are sinners might be set free as He pleased and satisfied demands of a holy and a righteous God. Oh, listen, they cut down palm trees. Palm tree branches. They took their coats off and strolled them and laid them in the way. My, you talking about an entry. You talking about a great day. Oh, the Romans may have looked at it and laughed. They may have sneered at it, even some of the Greeks. But I'll tell you, it's a great day, not just for Jerusalem, not just for the Jews, but a great day for all humanity. When the King of Glory, bless God, came in to show the world that He was King. My, they lauded Him, did they not? They praised Him. They glorified Him. They shouted to Him and called Him, watch this, the Son of David. Thank God, listen, He was. He was of royal blood. He was of royal descent. He was of royal seed. Thank God, thank God, thank God. I'm telling you, the King is coming. But all, listen, Zechariah prophesied, a great prophecy. And I wish I could remember how many years before, maybe as many as 700. I'm guessing, I'm not looking. I forgot to think about that. But you all know that it's this day, listen, if only thou had have known this thy day and the peace and thy peace. Boy, listen, Daniel, when he was prophesying in chapter 9, when he gave his 70-week prophecy. Do you all know, and I don't have time to expound this and to elaborate on this, do you know that Daniel prophesied of a period of time of 490 years in that 70th week of prophecy? That 70 weeks of prophecy that Daniel spoke about were really 70 weeks of years, and he began to break them up into 1 week or 7 years, and then 62 weeks, and then in 1 week, isn't that amazing? Oh, listen, friend, you began to add those things up, and it's 49 years and 349 years, and that brings you up to what is it, 383 years? 7 years, listen, 7 years are yet to be fulfilled. They will be fulfilled, thank God. Listen, in a time when Jacob's trouble comes, a time that we refer to as the tribulation, but I gotta hurry. When Daniel gave this prophecy, he said, listen, it'll start when a king gives a decree to build the walls of Jerusalem. That took place in the book of Nehemiah chapter 2. The first part of this prophecy began to happen. The time clock prophetically of God began to run. Took them 49 years, bless God, even in troublesome times, to build the wall, to rebuild the temple. And thank God it happened. But he said, listen, there's also 69 years that'll pass, or 343 years will pass, and it did. But oh, when those things are over, when those things have come to pass, listen what shall be in the last time. Listen to what the Word of God tells us that will happen according to Daniel's prophecy. Know therefore and understand that the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks. Threescore and 2 weeks, and the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times. Now watch this. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the Prince shall come and destroy the city, and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. Oh, do you know what? You know what? Do you know what Daniel was saying? Messiah is coming. The King is coming, and he's coming to die. He's coming, bless God, to suffer. He's coming to give His life a ransom for sin. I'm telling you, Messiah will be cut off. After 62 weeks, Messiah will be cut off. You say, what do you mean, preacher? He'll be crucified. He'll be cut off. Listen now what it says. He'll be cut off not for himself. He was the sinless Son of God. But he came to die for the sinner. For everyone that's a sinner. He came to die for me, sir. Came to die for you, ma'am. Thank God, listen. He died a vicarious substitutional death for us. He was cut off the week after. On this Palm Sunday, they were lauding him and praising him and crying, Hosanna to him. I believe the people that was crying that this week were largely from Galilee. But a week later, when the mobs began to cry, crucify him, as they were provoked to do that by the high priest, I believe they were from Jerusalem and from Judea. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe it's two different crowds. I'm doing two different things. But he was cut off, not for himself. Ah, listen, the week before Jesus died, the day that started what is known in the Word of God, or in Christian circles, theological circles, as the week of our Lord's Passion. The week, friend, listen, that demands more time in the gospel writers than any other thing. My, He came to seek and to save that which is lost. You can be saved today, friend. You can be saved today, sinner friend, because Jesus was cut off, because He went to a place called Calvary, because He allowed the Romans to crucify Him, because He cried, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, because He cried, it is finished. Bless God, you can be saved. Listen, the payment for your sin has been made. Bless God, the offer of God's grace stands available. And if you would believe in thine heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and if you will confess Him with thy mouth, the Bible said, thou shalt be saved. You see, Jesus didn't just die, but He rose on the third and appointed morning after they buried Him on the day of His crucifixion. Ah, listen, the King is coming. Thank God He's come once, but He's coming back again. In order for you to be ready for Him, bless God, you got to meet Him here. You got to trust Him here. You got to accept Him as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, or else you'll meet Him. He'll confront you. You'll face Him as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The King is coming. Oh, wish I had more time to take this further and to expand it broader. But thank God He was cut off for me and you. Would you go to Him today and say, save me until the next time?
Savior. Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. We're on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.